Hey, this is Kitian of Arima, and you're listening to Jet on Metal Messiah Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this Halloween edition of the Metal Magdalene with Jet. Tonight, we have with us a very special guest. We have with us Kitian of the symphonic black metal band Arima. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay, Kitian, tell us who's in the band, where you're from, how long you guys have been around.
Well, we're actually right now four guys in the band, and we have a session bass player named Leather King, which just joined on a couple of months ago.
Oh, cool!
But from the head start, it was me, Kitian, Xeos at drums, and then Gore at vocals, and our new guitar player, Diasternas, came in about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been there for a long time too, except he never played on our first album, Irkela. So the band was started in 2010, really early 2010, like January.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we started from there. We just didn't play any shows, went out and recorded Irkela and set it up for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been rolling from then.
And you have been rolling pretty good for such a young band, you know. I've noticed that myself.
Yeah, we're young. We're a young band, but we're some old guys. I'm guessing, like, the experience that we've had with other bands has really helped out, like, lay out a good platform for Arima. So, like, all the mistakes that we've made in the past of, like, either not coming out with a solid product and then trying to go out and do shows, try to record a demo. Like, we didn't want to do that with this band. Like, we told ourselves, listen, me and the drummer, Xeos, we told ourselves, listen, this is going to be the last project that we're pushing, like, 180% all the way, and we'll see what happens from there. So, I don't know. I guess we were probably really motivated, and we're happy to see that, like, the choices we made in the 3 years, well, everything just lined up and paid off.
Well, it seems to be paying off pretty well for you guys. And when you guys first started this band, I mean, was it much different than what you are now? I mean, it's only been a couple of years, but sometimes, you know, sometimes some bands start off with, like, hey, let's do this, like, death metal band with a twist, and then it totally ends up into something else. I mean, is this what you were going for when you first started it, or did you want to be a death metal band with a twist?
It's weird, like, I don't know, like, for sure, like, you can hear in Irkela, like, we were looking for our sound, you know, like, we knew what the band was going to be about, and we knew what we wanted as an image, we knew everything, but sound-wise, like, for that album, we find that, like, we were, like, you can hear that we're trying to grasp what we want to head towards that. With Rain, Through Immortality, it's much better, like, we're actually now a lot more focused on, like, what we want the sound to be, where we want the band to go. So I think sound-wise, it's always going to change, no matter what. Like, the next album will be different than the last one, but it's going to be a lot closer sound-wise to that. But lyrically, it's weird. This band, as much, in a way, I don't know how to put it, but in a way, like, as much as we're setting up Arima, I mean, Arima's making us grow as people, so...
Sure.
It's weird to see, like, how lyrically this band is pushing us as we're pushing it to, like, go into, like, deeper stuff. And, like, I don't know, I'm really pumped up. Like, we just started laying out the pattern for the new album, and we're really stoked for the whole story-wise of the new album. So.
Well, you're lucky in the fact that, you know, you are... as far as this band goes, kind of, you know, young into it, so you still have a lot of ideas. You know, once you hit your 20th albums, you might be running a little dry on ideas and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. But what's weird is that, like, I don't know, it seems like the whole project is just pushing us in a direction that I guess, like, deep down inside, we always wanted to go at.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird. We've always told ourselves that, like, Arima was going to be its own identity split from us.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird is that, like, we're joining up at this, like, greater level, like, spiritually or whatever. And I don't know. I think we're making the band grow, but the band's making us grow as people also. So who knows what in 20 years it'll be.
Well, hopefully it'll still be around.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
But you know what I noticed too about listening to, you know, your first album, I want to say your early works, like it was so long ago, you know, but you know, your first album, you always have, you know, even if you have like the, you know, just death metal elements or whatever, the vocals are more true to like a black metal sound. So even when I listen to it, you know, you still kind of get reminded of like a little black metal, no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, just from your vocalist. So personally, I like the fact that you are where you're at now. I don't know, or none of us know where you're going to be at the next album. Like you said, you keep growing and, you know, trying new things or whatever. But I really think that this like symphonic, because I love this kind of music anyways, you know, like your Flesh God Apocalypse and your Septic yeah. Fleshes and all this real epic stuff. So you guys, you know, you have this, I call it epic, you know, but symphonic black metal, you know, so much more, you know, it's kind of like more of a modern type black metal, because you guys are younger too, so you can't really expect you to be like freaking Mayhem or whatever. But yeah. Speaking of that, you know, when people think of any kind of black metal, they automatically think Satan and sacrifice and anti-God and anti-human and all that kind of crap. What is it that you guys base your music on?
Well, see, that's the whole where it's like, I call it a fine line, but it's really not a fine line. It's like this huge brick wall. But what's weird is like we're always on this like brick wall from one side to the other of like death metal and black metal, and even in the sound wise now I'm guessing the next album will have a lot more black metal sound to it, mm-hmm. while still keeping like a clean and aggressive sound of death metal.
Mm-hmm.
Lyric wise we're really about balance, and what's weird is that as much as we're, I don't want to say it like that because people are going to hate us for sure, but I mean, we're bringing a light side to the dark side, and we're bringing a dark side to the light side. Like, there's something to reach in everything, and I think that, and I mean, like, man, the bands that have been out there that are super satanic, and, like, we have the utmost respect for that, mm-hmm. but we have so much respect for that that we do not want to be associated
sure.
to that, because we are not a full-out satanic band. I mean, if we go out and say, yeah, you know what, it's really cool because black metal and Satanism sells, so we're a satanic band.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go out there. The guys who are doing it very well, and they're doing it for them. So us, it's going out to a completely other level of, we call it spirituality, where it's there's a pattern in like the cosmos that everyone can connect to. And I think we're trying to connect to that. So that's what the future of IRIMA is going towards that.
Well, you know, not to sound, you know, cliche with this question, but
yeah.
Who are some of, you know, your influences, I guess? Or, you know, maybe people that kind of you've listened to in the black metal that kind of made you, you know, want to do this kind of thing, or this is maybe destined for you to do? I mean, do you have, like, you know, who's your favorite black metal band?
Yeah, it's weird, like, right now, the band's really into, I would say, Watain.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are something completely different than a lot of people. Like, they're not just a band, you know, like, they're living at 100%, like, what a bit the pattern I was talking about, that Your band makes you grow as you make the band grow. I think them, it's the same principle of that, you know, like when they're off tour, they're still Watain, you know.
It's mm-hmm.
nothing, it's nothing more, nothing less, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's like to an not even an image wise, but like a living your band.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Watain right now are a big influence towards us, but mm-hmm. like for sure. We see interviews, we see stuff like that. Behemoth comes out, Dimmu Borgir comes out. I mean, sometimes Dark Funeral comes out. But, and like, we're not afraid to say that. Listen, we're a certain age. We grew up in the 90s. Like, you know, everybody, and a lot of people have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
but we're trying to hopefully faster than slowly pull away from these bands. Not that we don't want to, we just, we know that we're really associated to, let's say, a lot of Dimmu Borgir, which is fine. I mean, they're the fucking pioneers of symphonic black metal.
Absolutely.
You know? So somewhere we're doing something right if we're being associated to these people. But we want to try to pull away from these sectors, not to be too much associated by, you know, you, for sure, and there's going to be people who are like, oh, it sounds like that, it sounds like that. But yet, what we've been seeing from the interviews coming out is that we're happy to see that a certain guy's like, oh, well, they sound like this band. Well, I find they sound like this band, and it's two completely different bands. Somewhere, I'm happy to see that, you know, because we're, for now, coming out with this, but who knows what the next one's going to be. It might be completely different.
Well, when I listen to you guys sound like Arima. You don't, to me, you know, you might have, you could see where your influences are, but I don't really think that you sound like anybody else, you know what I mean? Which is what I like about your band personally. It's different, you know, I seen your interviews, and you did, like you said, you don't live the life, you know what I'm saying? You're musicians, and you're doing what you like to do, and you're really, really good at it. And speaking of, you know, kind of separate identities a little bit there, when you are up on stage, and you guys are up there, and you got, you know, the clothes and the paint, what does the paint represent as a band for you guys? Warriors going into metal battle.
Yeah. I mean, it started off with that whole pattern of, like, we didn't see it as corpse paint, we saw it as a war paint.
Right.
And I think more and more it goes towards that, but what we've been realizing is that, you know, when I told you there's a balance of the light and the dark. And
yes.
Whatever, I'm not calling it good or evil, cause not that at all, you know. But I think that when that paint goes on, it brings out a certain side in us, which is not completely different than the people that were off stage. But, I mean, that's where I channel, like, 150% of who that person is on stage, you know. Off stage, I'm still that person in a certain part, but it's a bit more locked up in a little box, so I can keep it for that.
And it's great to watch, too, because you're a great band to listen to. This is, you know, not to blow sunshine up your ass or anything, but I like it because it's different. And now this is actually a band that I would like to see live because, you know, I like to be entertained. I like a visual thing, too. And, you know, whether people like it or not, a visual thing is huge when you do shows because there might necessarily be everybody there that knows who your band is. But when they see you up there and you're not just like in jeans and a t-shirt and they're just gonna go about drinking their beer or whatever, when they see you up there, they're like, what the fuck, I gotta go see what this shit's all about, you know what I mean? So I think the visual thing is very important for a band, and you know, I'd love to see you guys. Now you guys been doing a lot of shows in Canada. I mean, do you get to do many shows outside of Canada?
Yeah, what's been happening is that for like the U.S. and other markets, we've been having problems landing an agent that was decent enough to, like, book us a solid tour. Like, we've had offers to go out for a couple of dates, a couple of small ones, but, you know, like, coming from Canada, going to the U.S., like, working visas, stuff like that, expense just to go out for a couple of off dates. Now we are setting up a, most likely we've been in the talks for a full U.S., and early 2014, like really early 2014.
So, well, that would be good.
We should be going out either with someone bigger than us, maybe a band a little equal to us. We're not sure yet. We're trying to land someone a little bigger to go out with us. But there's been talks also about mid-2014 to try to maybe go to Australia for maybe 10 dates.
Oh, that would be great. And if, you know...
That'd be really cool.
If you could get, you know, even, like, on some fests or something, they're great for exposure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When there's so many bands and the fans of all these bands, and I'm not talking, like, Bloodstock, all that would be kind of cool, too, but...
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Now, did you guys play the Heavy MTL Fest there?
No, we...
You lost!
Yeah, we missed it by, like, a couple of weeks this year, so... supposedly next year they said that we could be on it. It's not, it's never 100% of anything, but I mean, like, fuck man, I would like to play it for once at least, you know. But that's a bit the whole pattern of, like, we are a young band, have moved really quick on paper.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have a lot of hard work to do for the road part. And, I mean, we're ready to do it. It's just that, you know, it's a music industry. Sometimes
I know
things don't move as quickly as you'd like it to move, but we're starting to see things move, and I'm guessing, like, 2014 is going to be a big year for us.
Well, plus I see, you know, now that, you know, you're with Victory and you're getting a lot more promotion, that, you know, it'll be, I mean, Jesus Christ, that fest is in your own freaking country, for God's sakes. What the hell's the matter with these people? But I mean, you know, I don't think they'll have to think twice about it anymore. You know what I mean? They'll be like, okay, you know. They're probably like, we should have just let them come on last year.
But yeah, it's really, like, it's crazy because we're starting to see, like, how the especially the booking industry is moving. And, I mean, a lot of things are related to, you know, sales and stuff like that. And, you know, the music industry is not doing so well either. So, I mean, to be a band that's just coming out, I mean, we still have to take our place in the industry and, like, you know, like, follow whatever
you've
done. So, like, there's certain steps, I'm guessing, that you can't skip in life, and that's apparently one big one that you can't skip.
No matter how good you are, you just can't.
No matter how bad we want to go, we just have to wait.
Well, you know, it's...
What lines up something for us, so...
And it's working out okay that way for you, because, you know, you've only really been around a couple of years. And really, the stuff that's, you know, getting lined up, some bands are around 10 years before they do, you know what I mean? Well, actually, more like 6 or 7 years before they really get out there. But luckily for you guys, you know, there's a lot of bands that come up there that you could, you know, open for. And, you know, like, I know you guys, you know, open for Deicide. That must have been fun.
Yeah, that was actually very, very cool because there's one of the members in the band which is, like, their idols, you know. He's like, man, I can't believe we're fucking playing with Deicide. And actually what's the most awesome part, and we still, like, till this day are like, what the fuck? Jack Owen asked us for a shirt and a CD, and we were like, you know what, that's cool, you know. And then he put on the shirt before leaving, and then he says, oh, I'm going to listen to this in the car, and we were like, what the hell's going on, you know? But what's weird now is that we're starting to see pictures of him with the shirt live.
That's
cool.
And
we're like, holy shit, is that Jack Owen wearing an Arima shirt? And I, you know, like, so, I mean, I haven't been groupie that much in my life, but I mean, that's some really, really cool shit to see a guy like that with the respect that he has in the industry to actually like our band, you know? Like, he doesn't have to wear it because he doesn't know anybody anything, so I thought that was really cool.
That is cool, and then, you know, like you said, kind of get your names out there a little bit, and it is nice. And, you know, what's also even better about this is the whole marketing machine, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
people will ask him about them, and I know he knows a lot of promoters, and he'll mention them, and before you know it, you're going to be playing the Brass Mug in Florida. Now, tell me, when were you guys signed to Victory?
We signed in March of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually March 29th, which ended up being my birthday.
Yay!
That was a birthday gift to have that.
So, you know, the new album, let's talk about it a little bit. The new album, Reign Through Immortality. Now, this is your second album, but your first one with Victory, right?
Yes.
So, tell us a little bit about this album and, you know, what you wanted to do differently on this one than your last one.
Well, for sure, like, sound-wise, we actually knew more where we were heading.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as the album was a bit of a concept album because it was more around Sumerian culture and Sumerian mythology, this one we wanted it to be really a full-out story from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
So we based this album on a Sumerian king, which was obsessed and wanted to discover more about, let's say, spirituality, little born black magic, the cosmos, and stuff like that. So we had him, we follow his story throughout the whole album. So he goes out from being a king that's extremely powerful, but to him, having just all physical things under his belt, he realized that he wanted to grow more into like the spiritual world. So
mm-hmm.
he just gets disbanded from his kingdom, and then from there grows out and gains his spiritual powers or his mental powers, whatever you, however you want to see it, and finishes off with, for sure, we were allotted to old mythology, so we brought back like him sinking Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and then from there, he just disintegrates himself to go out into the cosmos to really, to the core of the knowledge of everything. So it's a bit far-fetched if you look at it from an endpoint, but if you're looking at it lyrically, and if you know a bit more about certain things, you'll catch a bit of stories a bit from everywhere in this album.
I like it.
We were happy the end product of everything.
You just answered my next three questions, so that's awesome.
Okay.
Well, you know,
sorry,
I like...
I didn't want to ramble so much.
No, I love it. And I like the... I mean, I was watching the videos and, you know, some of the lyric videos, too. And I like the whole, you know, Poseidon thing and the whole mythology thing. And, you know, it's good, and it fits so well with your type of, you know, music that's going along with the lyrics. It definitely does tell a story, and even if you can't understand the words, it's just great, you know what I mean? Even, you know, now people knowing the concept a little, or a lot now that you explained the whole thing, and when they listen to the songs, and, you know, the titles of the songs, and the way the emotion of the music is and everything, I think it's a really great album. You know, how many tracks are on this one?
There's 10 tracks on this one.
And did you have any guests on this album, like you did on the last?
No, we decided not to do it this time around. We thought about it. We had maybe an idea of Chris Donaldson coming out and do a solo on it. We even thought of having maybe other people join up on it. But, I mean, especially, I don't know, we were so deep into the story of this album that we just wanted to keep it a lot more just within our close circle. So.
And I like it better. I like the way this whole thing is packaged, too. I mean, this, to me, is your big heavy hitter. And so, you know, your cover art is, well, you guys on the cover.
Yeah.
So it's about you guys, your band, your music, your story with, you know what I mean? It just makes it more pure. So I'm kind of glad to hear there's no guests on it.
Yeah.
Now, where did you guys record this one, and who produced it?
It was, again, Chris Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
At his studio, Garage Studios. He produced it, and he actually mixed and mastered it, too. We were supposed to get it mastered from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
With the time frame that we had, I mean, on the album, the last 10-minute song was added in the last not even month of recording. So, I mean, we just wrote it, tracked it, and it was done within 2 weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think it took about 2 weeks to put the song together and record it, and we were really stoked at the end product because a lot of people liked this song. But so because of all these little time frames that we put on ourselves, we weren't able to get it mastered from somewhere else. But, I mean, the end product is awesome. I mean, Chris is the go-to guy. He does everything if you want him to, so...
Were you a little nervous that you had to do it this way? And you know what I mean? Within like these couple of weeks time periods?
Well, for sure. The whole signing with Victory like gave us a huge push in the ass that like it's got to come out now, you know?
Right.
But somewhere, what's cool about this band is that we like, we work really, really good under pressure. I mean, if sometimes there's maybe not that much pressure, we don't work as well.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why we try to put it on ourselves to really push ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, everybody pulled through, and I think, like, the most stressed out people were our studio guys, but where they pulled through like fucking champions, you know, and the album came out on time, so.
It did, and everybody was happy with it, and it sounded great. And, you know, you guys got a lot of great merchandise to go along with this album, and we're going to be giving away some of it tonight, actually. What's the next show you guys have coming up?
We have St. Catharines, I think, on October 25th,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to Windsor on the 26th. And then in the end of November, which is, I think, like November 28th to the 4th or something like that,
mm-hmm.
We're going back out to the Maritime. So we have a couple of closer shows in December, too, like one in Drummondville, and then hopefully in January we will be in the States. So.
Well, speaking of that, where can people go to learn more about the band and to keep up with your schedule?
The best is on the Facebook for now.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to be the first ones to know, but we're setting up a website very soon, .com, that we've had up before, which we took down, but we're trying to set up a new one so that it fits our image also.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, it's only mostly on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if you have one. We're always posting pictures of us out at shows.
Cool.
Like, whatever crazy shit happens on the road. So, yeah, those are the three main ones to try and find us.
Okay, great. Now, all right, well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us here tonight, and best of success to you and the band.
Well, thank you, and thanks a lot for taking the time to come out and talk to us. So, very cool.
Okay.